All right, so today's Daf Yomi is holding by Pesachim Daf Gimel, and some of the highlights of Daf Gimel are really, really interesting. So obviously the Gemara spends a lot of its time talking about Lashon Nikiyah and establishing for us the very, very important principle that the Torah itself goes out of its way, primarily from Parshas Noach, to avoid using the phrase Behem Tmeyah, and instead using the phrase Asher Einena Tahora, teaching us the value of Lashon Nikiyah. And the Gemara also points out a very interesting counterbalance, which is that the need exists for us to always speak that there's a very important need, especially for teachers, for Bayim, to teach their Talmidim, you know, b'derech tzara, in order to ensure that the teaching is done effectively, and by giving clear-cut principles, you know, straight, concise ideas, instead of it being a whole ramble, that's something which is very, very important as well. So there's an important balance between using Lashon Nikiyah, but at the same time, maintaining a certain degree of derech tzara. Now, some of the major sugyas that come up from the issue I want to focus on from Daf Gimel really is the issue on the bottom of Daf Gimel Mabez, when the Gemara tells a story of a certain non-Jew who got really excited about the fact that he was able to participate and to eat from the Korban Pesach. Ha! He said he went to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who was in a tivan, and he said, "Look, he was pretty much, I think the word nowadays, I don't know if it's called flexing. I'm not really familiar with all the common lingo. It's very, very confusing to me. But at least he was certainly bragging in a way. Yeah, flexing is when like you try to brag, but in a roundabout way. I think that's what it is. So either way, this was not like that, because this was overtly bragging. But the fact that he was able to fool the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash and participate in the Korban Pesach, and that's where Yehuda ben Beseira responded by saying, "Really? But did they ever give you from the aliyah? Did they ever give you from the tail part of the animal?" And for those who, you know, Rashi points out, the aliyah of a keves, of a sheep, assuming that one used a sheep for the Korban Pesach, you could use an ezer, you could use a he-goat or a sheep. So the aliyah is karev al mizbeach, and it's not eaten at all. And Yehuda ben Beseira, as we know, tells him that, and it turns out the next year when he went back for Pesach, that they realized that, in fact, they investigated, in fact, they realized he wasn't Jewish, and therefore they killed him. So there are a lot of issues that come up in this particular sugya. And I want to start with number one, you know, the question that's raised by Tosfos. And that is, with respect to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, it's very simple. You know, he plays a very important role for Metzivan in essentially establishing that this guy was a fraud, he was really non-Jewish, and he really had no right to take the Korban Pesach. But what was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira doing in Metzivan? I'm saying, doesn't he have a chiyuv Korban Pesach? What happened to his obligation to go to the Beis HaMikdash and to participate in the Korban Pesach? And that's where Tosfos, it comes up with three different answers, and all the answers are actually, you know, somewhat questionable. One of the answers is to say, well, he was in Chutz La'aretz. And he was in Chutz La'aretz, maybe. Perhaps it's even in Chutz La'aretz. Or alternatively, maybe he had no karka, and a person who doesn't own any land in Eretz Yisrael, they're putter from Korban Pesach, perhaps. Now, that's not really true. Turns out that person who has no karka is putter from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. The mitzvah of Olas Re'iyah and bringing a Korban Chagigo, the obligation to appear in the Beis HaMikdash for the Shlosh V'Galim. So it's true that if one doesn't own karka in Eretz Yisrael, so then one would be pater from that mitzvah. But Tosfos makes a very interesting assumption that that same thing would be true by Korban Pesach as well. And many of the other Rishonim are very bothered by this answer. And the last answer that Tosfos gives, which might very well be the most likely and acceptable answers of all, and that is that he was simply a Zaken. He was simply too old, and it was too difficult for him to travel to the Beis HaMikdash. But either way, as we pointed out already, and as the Mishnah Lamelach points out really, really harshly, that it seems like this Tosfos, it doesn't make any sense. From beginning to end, this Tosfos is so bothersome, because Tosfos assumes that some of the exemptions that exist for the obligation of Re'iyah carry over to Korban Pesach, and Mehechi Tesi, where do you get that from? Why should we assume that those same exemptions, and again, like a person who doesn't have karka, why should we assume that same thing is true by a person who, by Korban Pesach? Korban Pesach is a chiv karis. And a person who fails to bring a Korban Pesach is chiv karis, and therefore there's no doubt that, you know, unless there's a clear-cut makor to say otherwise, why should we extend leniencies that exist by Re'iyah to Korban Pesach? And therefore, the bottom line is that the Mishnah Melech really, you know, overall rejects, you know this Tosfos as being legitimate. It really can't be. And the Tzlach is of the opinion that, the Noach Yehuda in his commentary to the Gemara, the Tzlach actually says that really Rabbi Yehuda, the Meseira, was pater from Re'iyah. In other words, really the Chiddush of Tosfos is to say like this. Why was he pater from Korban Pesach? Simply because of the halacha of Derech Rechoka. We know the Torah tells us, you know, in Parshas Baloska, that one of the people who are actually exempt from Pesach Rishon, and therefore are Chayiv and Pesach Sheni, are people who are too far away from the Mikdash, you know, on Erev Pesach, and therefore are exempt from bringing the Korban Pesach on that day itself. And they have the opportunity, the obligation, really, to bring their Korban Pesach a month later on Pesach Sheni. So it says, you know, the Yehuda says Hatzlach, and other Achronim say this as well. When it comes to Korban Pesach, there's really, it's very, a very simple answer. It's, we know why he was Pater. He was Pater from Korban Pesach because he was far away. He was all the way in Etzivin. He was all the way, way, way out there. Again, whether it's in Chutz La'aretz or whether it's not in Chutz La'aretz is actually not clear, apparently. But there's no doubt that he was not within, you know, 15 mil of the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Pesach itself, and therefore he was Pater from Korban Pesach for that reason. And really what Tosfos means is, why was he not Chayav anyways to go to the Mikdash? Because of the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. And that's why Tosfos focuses in on reasons that really don't apply to Korban Pesach, but really only to Aliyah L'Regel. And that's the suggestion of the Slach, which could very well be true. It does seem to answer all the, you know, the major questions against Tosfos, but then again, the reason why the Slach is difficult is because Tosfos isn't talking about Re'iyah. Tosfos says very clearly, it's black and white in Tosfos, that the question is, why was he not chayiv in Korban Pesach? But nonetheless, that is what is suggested. Now, what the Slach also suggests, and this is really a fundamental issue that comes emerges from this comment of the Slach, and that is as follows. Granted, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra might have been potter from Korban Pesach too. For those who say bless you and listening to the shir, well after I gave the shir, and well after I just sneezed, nonetheless, thank you. I appreciate your, you know, politeness in saying thank, in saying bless you. Thank you. But Rav Tzlach, the Nodi Yehuda says, is a very fundamental yesod about this episode. And he says that what you see here is that Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, because of where he was potter from Korban Pesach. And in fact, we see that apparently there's no obligation to make yourself chayiv. Meaning, if there's a boundary, if there's a, in our circumstance by Korban Pesach, it's a physical boundary that exists in terms of, based on your location, you actually may be potter from the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Says the Nodi Yehuda, there is no obligation to make yourself chayiv by being in Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach. You can stay where you are. You have no obligation to put yourself in the place to become chayiv. You have no obligation to make yourself chayiv in this mitzvah. Wow. It's a bombshell. It's a pillar that the Noi Debuta says that, because, really? This is the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. The mitzvah, again, that comes with kares. You're not obligated to bring your Korban Pesach just because right now you happen to be in a location outside of Yerushalayim. You're far enough away that if you stayed where you were, you actually would be potter. Therefore, what? I'm not chayiv to try to make myself chayiv? Assuming I can, assuming a person is capable of going to Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach, the Noi Debuta is going to argue that I'm not chayiv to try because right now I'm in a location that's potter. I'm derech rechoka. I'm considered to be far enough away that I wouldn't be chayiv in Korban Pesach. Therefore, what? I'm not chayiv to go in the first place? Minchas Chinuch can't believe it. Minchas Chinuch argues strongly and says, I understand. When it comes to mitzvahs like lulav and sukkah and shofar, are you not obligated before this man of the mitzvah, on Erev Yontif, to make sure that you have a lulav and esrog? What are you going to say? Oh, on Erev Yontif, well, right now I don't have a lulav and esrog. And comes Yontif and it turns out, well, you didn't buy one, so you still don't have one. And, oh, well, the only way for me to fulfill the mitzvah is by having my own lulav and esrog. And for some reason, no one is willing to give you their lulav and esrog as a matano amanas lahachzir, which is really the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav and esrog on Yom Rishon, where there's a requirement of lachem. You have to own your lulav and esrog, your dalet minim. And for whatever reason why, there's no way to do it. What are you going to say? You're potter because you can't do it? You fool! You should have made sure that you had one before Yontif started. What kind of a argument is that? Because before this man of the chiyuv existed, you were in a predicament where you'd be potter. You didn't have the necessary, you didn't have a dalet minim. So how could you be expected to have dalet minim? How could you be chayiv in the mitzvah if you didn't? Or you figure out a scenario where, you know, you could say, well, right now, the chayiv doesn't exist. I'm not obligated to make myself chayiv in the mitzvah, really? So the Michas Chinuch thinks very, very strongly against this entire argument of the Slach and says, of course you're chayiv to go to Yerushalayim and bring your Korban Pesach. If, for whatever reason why, you mamish can't, despite all efforts, turns out there's a p'tur called Derech Rechoka. But lacking any good, you know, excuse, of course you're chayiv to put yourself in a position to be chayiv in this mitzvah. Now, this reminds us, Rabbi Yisai, of a mitzvah where there's certainly a very interesting argument and question to be raised as to whether or not a person is chayiv to put themselves in a predicament to be chayiv in a mitzvah, or is it mutter, or is it appropriate for them to remain where they are and not be chayiv? And of course, an example where this comes up every day for men is the mitzvah of tzitzis. Is a person obligated to wear a beged of dalet and kanfos in order to be chayiv and fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis? Or no? Can one claim, well, guess what? I'm putter from tzitzis right now because who wears a beged of dalet kanfos anymore? Saying, other than tzitzis, or people who wear like Israeli flags at the Israeli Day Parade, which is not really a beged anyways because it's a flag, but I'm saying who wears a four-cornered garment? And therefore, maybe I'm totally fine by not doing anything. I can just sit back, relax, and not wear tzitzis. So is that really a valid argument? And that's a very major discussion when it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis. The Gemara Menachos tells us that Rav Katina, was visited by a malach, even because for whatever reason why Rav Katina wasn't wearing tzitzis, wasn't making himself chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis. And it's an interesting discussion in the Rishonim exactly how to understand this Gemara. But the Gemara concludes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a moment of anger, we either riska. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already upset at you, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tag on to the punishment, the fact that you neglected the mitzvah of tzitzis, even though you weren't chayiv in the mitzvah. You make yourself chayiv. Get yourself a bag of down convos and make sure that you're chayiv. In fact, somebody showed him even say that really, there's a chayiv in the Rabbanim to make sure to always wear tzitzis. And certainly, there's no doubt that one should make every effort to wear tzitzis as much as they can to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, despite the fact that perhaps when one woke up in the morning, there was no chiyuv objectively, considering that you weren't wearing a bag of dalet kanfus. And the slach itself, it does seem to be difficult. And one could argue that maybe it just depends on the mitzvah. There are certain mitzvahs where the Torah presents it in a way where it sounds very much derech chiyuvi. The Torah is telling you that you must do something. Now, it could very well be that there are certain exemptions that exist, but if the Torah presents something in a fashion where it sounds derech chiyuvi, you must do this, then a person should have the perspective of, well, I'm chayav to do it. If it turns out you meet one of the criteria for an exemption, so be it. But should that be your mindset going in? Hard to say that should be your mindset. On the other hand, there might be certain mitzvahs that are presented in a way that is derech reshus. And if that mitzvah is presented in such a fashion, then one maybe could, in fact, you rely on this argument of the Noi Yehuda. I mean, the Torah didn't say I automatically have to do it. I mean, take a mitzvah like Shechita. You have to be a Shechit? You have to go to, learn all of Hilchos Kashrus with respect to Shechita and become a butcher? Why? Because there's a mitzvah called Shechita? If a person wants meat and there's no Shechit around, then you have to learn Hilchos Shechita and become a Shechit and fulfill the mitzvah of Shechita. But do I have to Shechit in order to have meat? No. I mean, someone has to Shechit in order for me to eat meat. I can't eat Eivrim and Achai, and I certainly can't eat Nevela. But do I have to fulfill the mitzvah of Shechita? No, if it's relevant, if that particular opportunity comes up, and that's the only way for me to eat meat, and I want to eat meat, so there's a mitzvah to shecht. But there's no objective obligation for me to go around shechting animals. Of course not. And that's a mitzvah that's more like a reshus. So again, this idea, this very, very, very big question of whether or not there's an obligation to put yourself in a situation to be obligated in the mitzvah, that seems to be a major debate in the Achronim that emerges from our sugya. One last question that arises from this sugya as well is the reaction of the Chachamim in the Beis HaMikdash in punishing the non-Jew who, in fact, took part in the Karban Pesach. They killed him, right? And they killed him. Why? Why was he Chayav Misa? Which one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach did the non-Jew violate to be Chayav Misa? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when the Sugyas in Sanhedrin talk about the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, it's very clear that the fact that there are seven Mitzvot B'nai Noach, Asa Rasan, Zuyi Misasan, the very warning, the very obligation to follow those mitzvahs already, it constitutes the warning of Misa. And therefore, it is true that a non-Jew would be Chayav Misa for violating any other Sheva Mitzvot. But for a non-Jew to partake in the Karban Pesach, it should be noted that in fact, there's even a machlokas arishonim. Is there a prohibition for a non-Jew to partake in the Karban Pesach or no? There's actually, according to that, I think the Rambam, it sounds like the prohibition exists for a Jew to feed a non-Jew from their Karban Pesach. For a Jew to take his Karban Pesach and to share it with someone outside of the realm of who you can share it with, such as a non-Jew, so that's an Isser not even on the non-Jew. It's not even the non-Jew's prohibition, it's the Jew. It's the Yisrael, the owners of the Karban Pesach, for feeding a non-Jew of the Karban Pesach. That's the one who violates the prohibition. It's not even the non-Jew's prohibition. Now, the Smag is of the opinion that it is, in fact, a prohibition against the non-Jew. But nonetheless, why is he Chai Misa? It's not one of the Sheva Misa's B'nai Noach. And that's where you find the following arguments made. It seems like the logic, is on the side of it's some form of Gezel. This would be some form of theft. Avachanan says it's Gezel because, after all, you are really robbing a chelek of the Karban Pesach of those who you participated with. The halakha is that a person is not allowed to, a Karban Pesach is not allowed to be given to anybody who's not registered on the Karban Pesach, and therefore the amount of money that was divided up in terms of purchasing the animal for all those who registered on the Karban Pesach, so that whole calculation is completely, was done mistakenly, because the non-Jew really had no right to actually partake in this Karban Pesach, and the whole division of the Karban was done inappropriately, and therefore, says Rav Chanan, it's really a form of gezel. Mechas Chinuch argues similarly that it's a form of gezel, really relating more to the fact that you're stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because even though we assume that Kachim Kalim, the lower level korbanos, are Mammon Bailim, really belong to the owners of that korban, but once they are brought in the Mizbeach, after Zrikas Adam, then you're really being Zochem Yishulchan Gavoy, you're really partaking from the Mizbeachs you know, portion. You're really taking a portion from Hashem. And if one has no right to do that, it's a form of gezel. And for that reason, the non-Jew was, in fact, chai misa, again, for violating some form of gezel. And again, a non-Jew's chai misa for violating any of Hashem's b'nei noach. So it must be that there's some linkage to gezel to explain the reason why he would be chai misa. All right, shkoyach, everybody. Have a wonderful day.